All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life. I'm your co-host, Lara Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco. Brightly.eco is a platform that connects you to products, stories, and other people dedicated to making the planet a better place. This new platform is going to be launching very soon, and if you'd like to be one of the first to get access, please sign up at Brightly.eco. Today's episode talks about a topic that impacts our lives each and every day. I'm talking about online shopping, because if you're like everybody else, you are probably adding something to your cart right at this very moment as you multitask between shopping and listening to this podcast. Lisa, our co-host, and I talk about various myths surrounding online shopping and how you can actually get involved in making sure that your carbon footprint gets reduced every time you check out. All right, let's get started. I think, you know, the topic that we're focusing on today is the environmental impact of your online shopping, and it is full of myths. So we're excited to be, you know, myth busters and talk a little bit more about, you know, the impact that really every time you add something to cart and check out, like what that means. And actually, I think Lisa is going to get us started with a really interesting positive note.
I think first of all, I just want to give people a perspective of how huge online shopping is, and just so everyone has a number, which is kind of crazy. So consumers just in the US alone spend $517 billion in online shopping in the US alone. $517 billion. I don't even know how many zeros are there.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, and e-commerce represented 14%, only actually 14%, which is was surprising for me, of total retail sales in 2018. And of course, our big friends at Amazon accounted for 40% of all online sales. And we'll get into Amazon, of course, later on, since it's such a beast of the online shopping in general. But the good news and the biggest myth that I was super excited to discover is that online shopping is actually more environmentally friendly than regular shopping. And actually, the research was done on this in Carnegie Mellon University, and they found that online shopping affects the environment less than traditional shopping because consumers' energy consumption, carbon dioxide emissions when online shopping are reduced by 35%. So it's huge news.
That's insane. I mean, honestly, this to me was like, as we were talking about this episode beforehand and we're, you know, sharing various statistics, this really jumped out at me. I think we all have a, you know, we've heard a lot about some negatives of online shopping, which we'll talk more about later. But what's fascinating to me is, yes, like as we get in the car to go to the mall, et cetera, that's actually really the biggest contributor to the carbon footprint. Crazy.
Yeah. So the research showed that approximately 65% of total emissions generated by the traditional retail model stem from customer transport to and from the retail stores, just exactly as you said. So maybe I can start us with the three main things that we want to address in this very loaded topic. Online shopping, again, $517 billion. And, you know, there's so many aspects we can cover. But in this episode, you know, we wanted to keep it short, succinct. We will be talking about, first of all, shipping. Second, packaging. And, of course, buying from brands that make a difference. These are the three main things that we want to address. All right. Shall I get started with this?
Let's do it.
Okay. So shipping, of course, as you can imagine, online shopping requires a lot of shipping. And this is the main kind of generator of the emissions, gas emissions, right? And just to give you, and to be very transparent, you know, I'm a co-founder of a subscription box company called Globin. It's a fair trade company, but you know, we are aware that we have to be shipping boxes to customers. And just in general, subscription box industry is so huge, so we are aware that we are generating more, you know, negative environmental impact through shipping boxes. But it's something inevitable. So, like, shipping is part of the online shopping experience, and this is something that we have to do. Some interesting facts we found, though, with shipping, and some of the things that you can address, you can do as a customer. So first of all, it's a very easy kind of thing to do, but it was surprising for me. You should always opt in for shipping notifications so that you don't miss your delivery man. Because
so wait, can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that? What do you mean by like shipping notifications?
Yeah, so shipping notifications are just checking your you know, when you. Obviously, every company out there right now, they're shipping you the tracking number, right? But sites and companies like FedEx or UPS or whoever is your local shipping provider, they actually have an option. You have to create an account with them. I think this is usually the process. And you can actually be getting your shipping notifications on through text messages.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Imperfect Produce. It's a kind of ugly produce subscription box, and I'm getting their boxes every single week, and they actually they are like probably on the side of like too many text messages, but I don't mind it at all. Like I am getting at least three notifications like that my box is out for shipment, the driver is coming closer, and it's here. And so what is the reason why we should do it? You know, why is it so important, which was very interesting for me. A recent study found that just two delivery attempts increase the emissions per shipment by between 9% and 75%.
Oh, that's huge. So basically, this is like if, you know, if you missed it, somebody has to come back, and then that's creating more carbon emissions. The exactly. other thing I also wanted to mention, too, is a lot of brands now use a system called Shopify to build their stores. And Shopify actually just launched a feature where you can get text message notifications, like Lisa was saying, but this is like from a systemic wide perspective. So a lot of the small brands that you've probably already purchased from now should offer the ability to get those text message updates, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And as it was pretty surprising to me to find out the numbers, right? Just two delivery attempts and can increase your emissions per shipment by 75%. And of course, another thing that we can do about shipping is, of course, combining your orders, right? So don't check out from the same company or like Amazon, of course. We all shop there. Try to combine your orders so it, you know, you don't ship like one tiny product, ship all the stuff together.
Yeah, there's actually a new feature that Amazon has too. I mean, all my features. I'm on a roll today.
Yeah.
But they actually let you pick a shipping day. So you can, I don't know if you knew this, but you can go in and say, every time I order from Amazon, I want everything to come on Wednesdays. So that's like a good way to actually do what you're saying, which is combine shipping without having to think about it. So if you have a family that has a shared account and people are purchasing things on there all the time, you can just get everything to come together in one area.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to mention too is I think people treat online shopping as an unlimited supply of resources. So one thing that specifically comes to mind is I have a friend who, when she shops, she actually will purchase a bunch of different sizes of one, you know, one garment, and then return them, which is okay. But sometimes she actually makes those purchases on different days. So like somewhere what Lisa's saying, like if you need to put a bunch of things in one cart, do it all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to the second part of online shopping experience is packaging, of course, right? So same as shipping, packaging and boxes and everything that comes inside of the boxes is inevitable with online shopping, whether we want it or not. So let's talk about packaging. I think the good news is that most of the companies these days, even they are not the traditional huge companies like Amazon, you know, huge subscription box companies, most of the boxes are actually made from recycled materials, which is great. But besides the box itself, there is a tons of other packaging materials inside the box itself. I think I repeated myself, but it's okay. Packaging. I think I can talk from the perspective of my brand, Globin. It's actually a very funny story about us is that our best-selling products is are always ceramics and glassware, which are very, very breakable. So our products come extremely well packaged, but they're bubble wrapped. There's tons of bubble wrap, and sometimes our customers come to us and they're like, can you like use less packaging materials? But you know, and this is something we as a brand of course are working continuously to improve on, but our point is always like, I'd prefer to over-package the ceramics and other breakable things so that, you know, you receive your product, which is not broken, hopefully, instead of, you know, me using less packaging material and increasing the chances that the product arrives broken and I have to resend it to you again, which I...
That's crazy, Lisa. And I think it's one that I'm like, I have to jump in here because this comes back to... The thought process around everything that we do in our daily lives can be optimized to be a bit more ethical and sustainable, right? That's like exactly why we're here to share information. But it's a scale. And so I totally agree with your point where it's like you might actually have to resort to using packaging that you think is not as environmentally, conscious because you know that the product is going to get there safe and sound, and then you don't have to create waste by having a wasted broken product or shipping another box to someone. So I think it's really interesting to think about the scale that these things happen.
Exactly.
And actually, while we're talking about shipping material, there's been a few companies that have started to get more and more involved in the space around creating different shipping materials that are eco-friendly. So I know you guys love when we do shout outs. So like one of these companies is called No Issue. Mm-hmm. They are brand new in the space and they're creating like fully compostable poly mailers, which is great. There's also, you know, existing companies like Lumi and things like that that are starting to add different lines to their products that are recyclable. And then finally, there's a few other ones coming up in the space that are actually creating almost like reusable crates or like reusable soft packages that actually you just send right back to the brand, which is interesting. So you're never creating like a throwaway shipping container. So super cool.
Yeah, I was also pleasantly surprised on my end that there are huge brands like Blue Apron. Blue Apron is, if you guys don't know, it's a meal delivery subscription box, probably the biggest right now in the food delivery space. Members like Blue Apron and Campbell Soup Company and Fitbit, they're members of the Sustainable Package Coalition. So if you're really, really passionate about this topic and passionate about pushing brands towards more sustainable packaging, you should check out their website, the Sustainable Package Coalition. They seek to improve five elements of everyday packaging. It's sourcing responsibly, creating efficient and optimized supply chains, recycling and recovering packaging, and then using non-toxic supplies and impacting the globe as minimally as possible. So they have actually a list of brands who are their members. So if this is something very important for you, this is basically you can narrow down brands you are shopping from by looking in their website.
That's fascinating. It's funny that you mentioned Blue Apron because I have used them in the past. I think probably most people have when they came out of the gate a few years ago. They were like super on point with their marketing and their offers. And actually, I loved the recipes that I was able to create with them. I always thought that they were like just really got us out of our rut. And one of the things that really bothered me about using Blue Apron and actually by using any of these meal delivery services was the amount of packaging that came. So if you think about, there was of course the cardboard box that was fine, but then there was like the ice pack in there that never seemed like, I'm always like, what am I supposed to do with these ice packs? So like what we do with our in our family is like we just freeze them and use them for like our own. And I think most people do, but at a certain point you can't have like 20 ice packs. Yeah. And the other thing that like you know, even my husband who you know, he's also very passionate about eco-friendly practices and stuff, but by no means is he as passionate as I am. Even he was like, wow, like, I can't believe how, you know, when Blue Apron sends us a recipe, it's every single thing is packaged in plastic, like all the spices and all of that stuff, too.
Yeah, it's all packaged separately.
Yeah, so this was a few years ago, so I'm really excited to hear that they are making strides to, like, cut down on those pieces of waste. And I would love it if somebody, I mean, like, free startup idea, please take this, but I would love it if somebody would come out with a company that would send you things in containers that you could just, like, send back to them. I mean, Amazon, think about the milkman back in the day. When the milkman would come deliver you milk, it would be in a bottle that you would give back to him the next time he stopped by. So like, how cool would that be, you know, if companies like Amazon would adopt more of that type of behavior? I think it would be awesome.
Yeah. And I think the last thing that we need to talk about in terms of packaging is the beauty industry, right? So every year, 120 billion units of cosmetics packaging are produced, and mostly it's for one-time use. So this is where why I started talking about is like refillable containers. You know, refillable containers is a huge, huge industry. I think we are starting to see more and more players come up in this area. So major brands like P&G and Olay, they're starting to invest in the refillable containers and like just testing out this model in general. Beauty Counter is one of like more ethical beauty brands, is also investigating in kind of investing money in this area as well. And there is, I think, a company called Humankind. We'll give a shout out to them. They have their whole business model is focused entirely on refillable products. They sell eco-friendly health and beauty items in recyclable packaging, including mouthwash tablets, refillable deodorant, and shampoo bars, which is a super important, as we just learned.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the other angle I want to throw into this is, so a lot of these companies, like the big ones like P&G or I'm getting that name wrong, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
P&G, the big consumer companies, they're actually looking at this from a financial perspective too. So why would it be interesting to them? Well, it's very expensive to ship heavy items. If you think about a lot of the things that we use on a daily basis are actually, you know, like think about a big, you know, a big shampoo bottle, for instance. Like most of the time, those are composed mostly of water. And there's like a small amount of the actual good stuff, the concentrate that you need. So there's actually been a few different brands and startups coming around, such as like Grove Collaborative, Blue Land is another one, where they're actually experimenting with shipping people like little concentrate tablets or like concentrate packets of cleaning supplies. So basically, the first time you shop with them, you purchase the little tablet and then like the container, so like a big glass bottle. And then the next time you just throw that tablet into water and then bam, you've got your, you know, your shampoo or your cleaning supplies. And then the next time you need it, how cool would that be? You know, you just get like a little envelope that's sent to you with like some of these tablets.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. Like there's, of course, the eco-friendly space that I think a lot of people want to be in, but it's also financial. It gets so much cheaper for brands to do it that way.
Yeah. So I think this is what gives me the most hope is like, as long as brands are incentivized financially to do this, there's way more chances that they actually will go through with these programs. And yeah, like when I was thinking about personally what we can do as consumers, I mean, obviously, all of the things that we mentioned right now. You can, first of all, you should advocate as a customer of any given brand, Amazon or any other brand out there. You can send emails to customer support and make sure that your voice is heard. It's like, I would love to see more environmentally friendly packaging. You know, if the brand doesn't provide shipping notifications as often as you'd like, ask them for that. And as long as the brand is hearing from you, you know, they're more likely to actually make changes to their operations. Amazon,
exactly.
For example, specifically, they introduced, I think it's been a while now, actually, it's called frustration-free packaging. I actually, as a consumer, haven't even noticed on their website. Laura, maybe you know a bit more about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've listened to our podcast before, you might know that I used to work at Amazon. And yes, I am familiar with the frustration-free packaging. So it's something that you can actually, I think you can filter by when you're shopping for things on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So it just basically means most of the time, frustration-free packaging results in like less plastic and like less things around it. That's kind of where they came up with that term frustration-free. Cause you know, there's like, we've all bought products where it like takes, I don't know, like an X-Acto knife and like three people to get through the packaging. But yes, I think a nice side effect of this has been that people are thinking about it more in terms of like how to cut down on the packaging in general.
Yeah. And as a consumer, you know, if you are going to brands and shops like Costco, for example, if you have space in your house to store all these gigantic packages of the stuff that's sold in Costco, buy a huge container of, you know, dishwasher or detergent that you can store in your house instead of buying small bags or boxes. So, for example, you know, the hand wash. Buy a big container and just keep refilling them. I think this is a huge part. I think in this episode, I have started doing that already, but now I realize that it actually makes a huge difference.
It does. And the other thing too, like from a visual, like aesthetic point of view, I'm very big into interior design. And one thing that you find that like Chip and Joanna Gaines and all these like celebrity designers, what they do is they actually take, they buy those like beautiful amber glass bottles and they actually just like use those to hold all of the, you know, soaps and shampoos and stuff. So like you look at their kitchens that they do, the bathrooms that they do, and they're always those like beautiful sort of like brandless, nameless bottles full of things. So it like actually helps your house like just
looks
put the,
cohesive,
you know,
yeah,
do, yeah, mm-hmm. Looks cohesive, get a little notch of interior design there.
Yeah. All right. So I think the last part that I mentioned that we want to talk about is, of course, buying from brands that make a difference. And of course, I think the first question that before we jump into that, I wanted to address is that, you know, the whole idea of online shopping and, you know, retail businesses at large, what do these businesses do about the fact that a retail business is built on what many see as unsustainable consumption habits? Right? I mean, these companies want you to constantly buy more and more and spend more and more money with them. And same especially probably goes for the subscription box industry. And we at Global Inn, for example, we thought about this pretty, we spent a lot of time thinking about this, like a subscription box model. It's basically it's unsustainable model. It promotes this unsustainable, unhealthy consumption habits. So what we as a sustainable, ethical and fair trade brand, what we are doing about it and what other brands hopefully are doing about this too, is that we are always encouraging our customers to only buy the things that they truly will want and cherish. And of course, another huge part of it is, you know, only selling high quality products that will last for a long time, be it a t-shirt or sneakers or, you know, a beautiful hand-blown glass vase.
Exactly.
And yes, we as a subscription box company, we also give as much flexibility to our customers. So unlike most of subscription box, we don't just send you, you know, a surprise box of random products inside. We give customers an option to choose from different box themes and even specific products that they want to receive each month. So exactly, again, we're not sending them just the stuff that will fill up their house and they will never use. We always want to send you the products that you will absolutely love, cherish, and they will stay with you for many, many years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that from as a consumer, I actually don't typically, you know, enroll in subscription box
programs exactly.
For that reason. So it's great that like Globin, and I think there's a few others in the space that do offer more flexibility. Another thing that I've heard of people doing both with like subscription box items and then with items that they get and they may or may not love.
Yeah.
They think about gifting these items. So yeah. like making sure that like if there's items that you're getting that you're not 100% sold on, rather than returning them, which we didn't talk too much about the yeah. return cycle in this episode, but you can imagine that, you know, the process of you having to get into your car to go drop off a package at UPS is going to create carbon emissions. And then, of course, the fact that the item has to get all the way back to the brand, that's going to like radically increase the amount of, you know, of environmental impact that that one product had. So maybe rather than, you know, purchasing a bunch of things with the end goal of returning them, maybe we should start thinking about reducing our amount of buying that we do online. And then, you know, if we somehow end up with things that we don't love, either gift them or figure out a way to kind of put them back in the cycle in a more responsible way.
Yeah, the returns are a huge part, of course, of the problem. And actually, it made me remember, you know, my stories from my friends who love shopping at Amazon. Again, Amazon, but this is the reality, unfortunately. And what people do, because Amazon has this crazy, you know, shipping policies, super affordable, 1 day, 2 day free shipping, delivery, returns are always accepted and things like that. What people have been doing, and I'm pretty sure they're still doing that. Let's say you're buying a pair of shoes in Amazon and you're not sure, of course, exactly which size you should buy. So what they do, they buy multiple sizes of the same shoe, try their own at home and ship the other back. And they just, you know, and this is very unsustainable behavior. You know, like you already, when you're buying something, you're already kind of buying with a set mind that you're going to be shipping at least part of the order back, which is, of course, very, very unsustainable.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that a little bit earlier, but this is a common thread that, you know, that certain people do. So maybe try to not do that. If you can, you know, figure out a way to go on and try the item in person if you can, etc. So, I mean, it's not perfect. None of us will, you know, solve this overnight, absolutely. But it's just worth thinking about.
Yeah, at least start thinking. That's the first step. And another thing that I wanted to mention too is that, for example, if you buy, if you're shopping, let's say, last chance sales for brands like I did recently with Treadlands and like super heavy discounts, and Treadlands is an awesome ethical fashion brand, but they said no returns, which is, you know, good. But, you know, I ended up with a piece with a pair of pants that don't really fit me, which I knew, you know, that it's a risk because I've never tried them in person. So what I did is, instead of, again, I can't return them. My first step is always like I bring this something that doesn't fit me. I bring it to the office and see if any of my colleagues would, you know, it makes a great fit for them or not. If nobody wants to take this piece from me, I go to Crosslands, which is awesome thrift company, and they give you a really good deal on all the products that you bring into them.
That's great. And, you know, that's something I love that idea, Lisa. I actually myself will try to not shop from like places that don't do returns because I get this anxiety. But the fact that you've come up with like a creative way to either, you know, pass them along to someone that is, you know, interested in having them, or, you know, using thrift shops or even some of these apps we've talked about. So some of the ones that we love are like, you know, Relove, we love Poshmark, ThredUp. There's all sorts of different things coming up. And actually, you know, some brands like Patagonia, and I think Amore Verre, another sustainable fashion company that I love, they've now started to create systems where you can actually trade clothing that you don't want back into them. So it's like less of a return and more like a putting it back into the cycle, and then they will reward you for giving it back to them.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit less of, it's not like a straight return where you're going to get, I guess, money back on your credit card, but there is a way to get credit back, which is really interesting.
Yeah. And again, what's in it for big brands? And I think more and more, and I think we should have like a whole different episode about the whole like resale economy. But bigger brands like, I believe Macy's or some other big brand, they have partnerships with brands like ThredUp, who helps and encourage customers to like kind of ship back the items that you don't like or you already wore and don't want to use and wear anymore. So what's in it for the brand who's giving you credit for returning the items to them, they actually encourage you to, you know, do another purchase, repeat purchases. That's what they did for the brand. But I'm glad to see that brands are actually starting to do it.
That's awesome. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for educating us all about really how our online shopping habits are impacting the planet. I learned a ton. I also was really interested to know, like, some of these myths that I was holding on to were really not true. This was great.
Yeah, so the last thing that we didn't really talk about, but it's something like a theme of, you know, brightly and good together in general, buy from the brands that make a difference, right? And we're here for you to help your research, to give as many shout outs to the amazing brands that make a difference in every aspect of ethical and sustainable lifestyle.
Absolutely. That's our whole reason for being. Exactly. And we're so thankful that you guys join us on this journey. So thanks so much.
Well, this has been fun, Laura. See you next time.
All right. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Lisa and I are thrilled that you joined us, and we hope that we taught you a few different things that'll be fun to talk to over the dinner table. So if you're interested in learning more about how to keep up with us at brightly.eco, or you'd like to stay in contact, head to brightly.eco/podcast, where you'll find show notes and links to all of our social media channels. If you want to find us directly, we can usually be found at username brightly.eco across all of the platforms you're already on. Thanks so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to keeping the conversation going on behalf of you and on behalf of the planet.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.